Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Naps.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and usually what you would hear next is Jennifer Landa saying, I'm Jennifer Landa. Sadly for us, but great for Jennifer, she has taken a couple weeks off. She will be back soon. We miss her already, and I hope, Ken, that you and I can struggle through the news together. We'll hold one another up.
Wind beneath our wings, all those kind of things. We're going to do it. Yeah, Jennifer will be back soon, like Joseph said. And we all should say at this point that, Joseph, our schedule might be a little lighter in the couple weeks, next couple weeks. We just wanted people to know that.
Yeah, that's right. So we normally do news. We do cues. We try to do a deep dive. Certainly when a new show is running, or like we were talking about, Visions the last couple weeks, and a fun show like Databank Dive, been doing the Figure Fight show on YouTube, and we're going to get back to that level. But for the next couple of weeks, it might be a little bit lighter as we plan for some new things for Four Center, and also just busy with some life stuff. I'm working on that short film that I've been promoting the Kickstarter for. Thank you everyone who has supported that and got some family stuff going on. And you're busy juggling some new jobs too, right, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely. Doing some new work, finishing up some old work, and just got back from a trip myself, a wedding trip. which was a lot of fun. We'll talk about more. But yeah, it's just a good time to maybe take our feet off the gas and just kind of gear up for what's coming. So we want to let you all know. And all that really means, Joseph, is that they're going to have time. You out there listening will have more time to listen to audiobooks, which is why it's a good time to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, however, 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Also, we have our Ask segment, and a lot of stuff is going on over at Patreon, and that's kind of where we're focusing on right now.
That's right. Yeah. The thing that we are not taking our foot off the gas on, because the titular character would never take their foot off the gas, that is our Indiana Jones podcast that we're doing on Patreon, Indiana Jones in the Perilous Podcast. In fact, we're recording our episode about The Last Crusade this week, and I can't wait to rewatch it. Can't wait to talk about it. If you want to join us on Patreon for that journey, it is patreon.com/4center. We're doing these Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast episodes building up to the release of Dial of Destiny. A little bit after the release of Dial of Destiny, those episodes will be made available to the public. But if you want to join us on the Indiana Jones journey, or join us on the Indiana Jones journey, you can do that by going to patreon.com/4center. Jennifer's not here and everything's falling apart. Speaking of Jennifer, the other thing that we want to say about Patreon is we just want to say thank you again for helping us get to one of our most recent goals, which was to have the time, the funds, so that Jennifer could work on a YouTube show that is going to be premiering on Monday, July 17th. It's going to run for 5 weeks. It's going to be called The Jedi Beat. It's going to be a mix of old and new audio. It is going to be Jennifer doing her PBS meet Star Wars great investigative, but still very, very fun journalistic study of topics in Star Wars.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to happen. And you all made that possible. Yeah, we're going to get through this. I haven't really used my brain, my heart, and my vocal cords to podcast in a while. So I feel I've got to get up to speed.
It's been like 6 days since we've recorded, which seems like a millennium because we normally record more frequently.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we'll get to the news here shortly, but we always do like to catch up. Life adventures, Star Wars adventures, and we're both wonderfully busy, blessed to be busy with some of the things going on, and other things are just life. But Joseph, did Star Wars find you in any of it?
It did. I got some good news on a project that I can't share the good news yet. But my slight action figure, I'm not going to say hoarding. I'm going to say saving for the winter months, like a squirrel with a nut. I will order things from eBay or Amazon or Entertainment Earth, and I'll remember which figure's in which box, but I'll just kind of put them in a corner and wait for a special moment. And I got good news on Friday night about a project, and I'd had an action figure that I'd coveted for a long time that I'd found at a reasonable price on eBay. It is one of the 50th Lucasfilm anniversary figures. They did all those special figures. And one of the things they did is they did a bunch of 6-inch Black Series figures, but they put them in the packaging style of old 3¾ package styles. So they did one in the Clone Wars packaging style, where the back of the card is a clone helmet. In this figure, to absolutely no one's surprise, is Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it's a great Black Series Obi-Wan Kenobi in his early Clone Wars look with all of the armor over the Jedi robes, but it's done entirely in a realistic style. And it is not only the best, but for me, one of the only action figures that does actually look like Ewan McGregor.
Actually there.
So it's a mighty accomplishment. It's been a busy time, a good time, but also a stressful time. So I just had a great Friday night. I got good news. My wife made me a martini and I did a little photo shoot with my new Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that was one way that Star Wars found me.
That's wonderful. Good news and figures. It's a book title and also a way to live life.
Exactly. And you had some adventures. I don't want to spoil anything that you do or don't want to share, but I saw some adventures on social media.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun. Privileged to be invited to a wedding of a friend, a couple friends of ours, Brian Perez and Laura Luke. Some of you might know if you follow me around the old Schmo's world, everything you might know, Amateur Films, The Wangers, Cody Hall, Christian Rufacaba, Brian Perez. So we were all out there for that. Mark Ellis officiated the wedding. It was on Catalina Island, which in 25 years in Los Angeles, I've never taken the 45-minute boat ride out to the island. Finally got to do it. And it's a nice, you know, coastal beach town experience, as well as some mountains, some wildlife, some red foxes, some deers. So we did it all. It was one of those where like 1 hour would be the most relaxing hour of my year. Just going to sit there, listen to the ocean in a resort hotel kind of balcony setting, reading a book. And then the next minute you were, being rushed into a karaoke bar to do shots and eat bad food. You know? And then you just, I want to go back to the couch. So a lot of fun indeed. But I did have a little Star Wars. Got to chat with some folks about Star Wars because you're doing the, hi, who are you thing, and eventually Force Center or something comes up. So that was always fun to find some Star Wars in the wild. But I really did find Star Wars in the wild. At one point, I had to go for a little walk to between the two places the group of friends was staying, and put in some headphones because it's going to be, a little bit of a walk through the neighborhood and up and down some hills, so it was exercise. It felt like exercise. So I put on the headphones, but it was, so I'm listening to my normal rock music, but the old iPod, like I'm 70, the old iPhone music shuffle worked again when suddenly Ray's theme popped on. And when I'm going for a walk and it's with a little bit of burning calorie purpose, I don't really stop for the Star Wars music, right? Sometimes I'll do the old skip, but it showed up, started playing. I was like, what a perfect time to enjoy Rey's theme. The Force Awakens, bouncy, hopeful, living on Jakku and a whole story in front of her version, the first version we all heard, and just walking through the hills, ocean to my left, deer and red foxes to my right. It was very relaxing and kind of, connected to the hopeful part of that song, that theme that we all love so much. So Star Wars pops up even when you don't plan. It's there.
That's great. You should now just carry a lightsaber at all times to act out in case Ray's theme comes up on your iPad shuffle. I did want to share one other life adventure that is only very, very marginally Star Wars related. I think it's Star Wars related in terms of the thematic lessons that I got from it. But this is a story, Ken, about Thrawn, as played briefly by Pierce Brosnan on a poster.
Oh, yes.
I'm joking about that Star Wars Celebration poster where Thrawn was painted to look like Pierce Brosnan, and everybody was like, casting reveal. And I think the artist was just like, it was a live action Thrawn and I like Pierce Brosnan. So I just did that. Long time fan of Pierce Brosnan from, as a kid watching him on Remington Steele, up through to huge James Bond fan. And I think he does a fabulous job in those films. Anyway, long story short, some mutual friends that are also big James Bond fans posted on Friday that he was having an art exhibit of his paintings in Los Angeles. And my wife and I reworked what we were doing that day so we could go to it. And it was really powerful. I really loved his art. It ranged from the fun and whimsical to the really powerful and painful. Some paintings about cancer, which his first wife passed from cancer, to like self-portraits, a portrait of Bob Dylan, fun, weird experimental stuff, really peaceful, kind of surreal landscapes. I thought the art was all legitimately great. And if I'd just been going to the exhibit, I'd be like, this is really great, interesting stuff. The exhibit was called So Many Dreams, which was the title of one of his great paintings. If people are interested, I think the website is still up. You can just search for So Many Dreams, and there's a short film about 14 minutes long about his journey with painting. I'd never known he was a painter. And basically the journey was that he had started out wanting to do visual art, got distracted by acting, kind of had, you know, some success there. He's kind of unsure about sharing his work because he's, you know, not trained and are people going to judge him and all that, and decided at 70 years old to not be shy about it and have his first art exhibit.
That's great.
So just, it really reminded me of a lot of the things that we talk about with older characters being featured in Star Wars, that, you know, your journey's never done, that fear is something that can hold all of us back at times, and it manifests in lots of different ways. That training is important, but also just reaching out, connecting, doing things is important. And for me, it was just moving because, you know, gorgeous international superstar, Pierce James Bond Brosnan, if he can be a little insecure, we can all be a little insecure sometimes.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. I saw you post a little bit of that, and that's great. I love that kind of stuff, man. I love the gear shifts late in life, or the gear shifts at any point, or trying something new, or just always having so many different ways to express yourself at your fingertips. It's wonderful stuff. That's great.
Yeah. It was really moving in. Hey, I'm happy for Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn, but I think Pierce Brosnan would have done a good job too.
Would have been a different take, and I would have loved it too.
Exactly.
And maybe more in line with how I would have thought Thrawn would have hit the screen in 1991, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Someone who kept saying, that's perfect for Jack Nicholson. Great job. Great job. Well, let's get to some Star Wars news. And I really love your words there on Pierce Brosnan and getting out there and sharing a story, kind of living life, because I think we all were reminded this weekend the preciousness of life and how temporary this all truly is. The Star Wars family and as well as fans all around the world, and, you know, Stevenson family themselves suffered a great loss this week when actor Ray Stevenson passed away while shooting Casino in Ischia in Italy. The exact cause of death is unknown presently. And, you know, quite frankly to me, not part of the discussion. It's just the loss is the discussion. And he was 58. Of course, Stevenson, no stranger to the Star Wars world, voiced Gar Saxon in Rebels and then came back for the Clone Wars. And of course, one of his final roles will be as the mysterious villain Baylan Skoll in Ahsoka. We just all saw him at Star Wars Celebration. And I think that's part of the reason I feel a little extra affected by this one as well. So talk about the thoughts of Stevenson, a father of three, passing and what we loved about his presence at Star Wars Celebration and him in the trailer for Ahsoka. All those kind of things, you know, we're excited. But then this reality, Joseph, appears here. So what's your thoughts on the passing of Ray Stevenson?
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. I think because for lots of reasons, first and foremost, just a human passing, a father of three, going suddenly. We're in this new era, and we have been for quite a long time, where we all can grieve publicly together. And sometimes when those happen, it's, you know, because somebody who's a living legend and like 98 years old passed, and that is sad. Mm-hmm. But we are celebrating them and looking back on their legacy. 58 is a gut punch. Mm-hmm. 58 is very young, in my opinion. Like we're just talking about, here's Pierce Brosnan in starting out with a new side of himself at 70 years old. You're alive until you're not alive, and you're active until you're not active. And the 58 part of it was a gut punch for me. And I think exactly like you're saying, I have some more thoughts on his presence at Star Wars Celebration and my personal reaction based on what I do and don't know of his work. But it's hard when from our perspective as Star Wars fans, whether we knew his work well or didn't know his work well, we as Star Wars fans were on the beginning of our journey with him.
Yeah.
Maybe people knew him as Gar Saxon, but like at Star Wars Celebration, he was a part of the announcement of Ahsoka. We got to see him on screen. He was a presence, and it was, yep, you've been Gar Saxon, but now this is something different. Everybody's going to recognize you. You're always going to be a part of Star Wars. You can come back to Celebration, you know, forever and have lines around the block for photos, you're in it now, man. And you, the audience, if you didn't know this guy before, or you did, here's the beginning of a new relationship. He's a Star Wars actor now. He's got a lightsaber and he's cool. Let's go. I think that's what's really hard about it, is that it was the beginning of a relationship from our perspective as fans.
I really agree with that. And yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Celebration here in a moment. But yeah, this was while on vacation, this news broke. And you know, I'm having one of those, you know, as I was trying to describe it, we all have those moments where if you get a chance to stop and catch your breath and look out, whether it's the ocean, snowy mountains, the desert, some part of this wonderful world, right? You have those kind of like, oh, I'm feeling alive. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling connected. And this happens. And, you know, I know him. I know of his work and have seen him in a lot of things. I love his stuff. And The Other Guys, one of my favorite little comedy movies there. But I didn't know his work intimately and was excited, as you said, to get to know him more, but to see him up on stage in that age, not to age ourselves, Joseph, but we're closer to 58 than we were not. You know, I still think I'm the 22-year-old that moved to LA. I am not. And, you know, this is one of those, like, you know, I understand death. I understand all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I had a little bit, it affected me in a way, in large part because of what we just saw in Star Wars Celebration. As we transition into what we felt of him there. There was something about him. He's 6'3". He's a big presence. He had that white shirt on, that green and black scarf that's in all the photos that you're seeing right now. And he just came out there. And this is a guy. And yes, he was Gar Saxon, but not as many people watch those shows. Sadly, not as many people even know that character or know that he did that. And it was in a room, in a recording studio. And taking, you know, it's a smaller part, a little appearance. And to see him, someone, again, 58, who had a long career, experience Star Wars fandom in that way. It was full of life. The moment was full of life. And you do kind of have that, like, wow, it's just last month. Like, so it kind of bummed me out more than other recent passings of celebrities that we don't know, right? We just know them as names. So, yeah, I'm with you. That was the biggest thing I enjoyed is that this guy with his long career, with this long, long list of roles he's played and a lot of life he's accomplished, was, you could tell he was blown away and just overwhelmed to feel that love at Celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really agree with that. And to be totally honest, you know, I knew Gar Saxon. I knew his role as Volstagg in Thor. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen some of the other things that people have absolutely love in his work. I haven't seen The Other Guys. I haven't seen Rome. And for me, when an actor comes into Star Wars, I always pay a little bit more attention. And mm-hmm. I like their work and I appreciate their work and I'm a normal human about it. But it's also, you know, fun for me to see like the movie Annihilation, which is a fabulous movie. And then, you know, I'm going to go see Padme and Poe in A Troubled Marriage. That'll be fun. you know, it's kind of a jokey thing, but it's a true thing of like I was so excited to know his work more in the past and in the future. And a big part of that was also, he looks amazing in Ahsoka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the show. And we don't know who this character is yet. We don't know what the character's fate is in Ahsoka. We don't know if that character is going to be a fan favorite character. And, you know, we're all clamoring for give Baylan his own Disney Plus show. And that all those possibilities being tied off as part of it. But you're right. The vibe at Celebration. A lot of it was his presence. And this is what's... I'm trying to think of the right analogy for it. Like, Star Wars Celebration is this party where people who come regularly, they have their lightsabers. They're dressed up as Mandalorians and Padme and a million other things. And they've got inside jokes like the running of Railroad Hood. But then there's also like, and anybody from any other party is welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when a new actor is introduced to the world of Star Wars and they come in with their own vibe and their own energy, it's like somebody wandered in from a different party and then everybody cheers for them. And the way that he walked in with his great gravitas, his great presence, but also honestly just looking like he just walked in after, you know, grilling some meat on a beach, right? The open shirt, the necklace, the
the just fun devil may care scarf and look. And the fact that he had that presence that could have been like, I'm an actor and I'm doing a Star Wars and I have to do this. So I'll, you know, say hello and wave at the nerds. There was none of that energy, right? It was like wild. Everybody told me it would be this, that you haven't even seen my performance yet and you're screaming for me. Everybody told me it would be this, but it's amazing to experience it. Thank you for the love. To me, that he had one of those vibes of like, this is amazing. I'm happy to be here. I realize what this is now. I realize how much love there is here.
Yeah. You make you think of Carl Weathers of 2019. You know, here's Apollo Creed showing up to this party. And there was a lot of like, welcome, you're finally here. And I think that Ahsoka panel, we'll talk about the trailer, of course, here. But that Ahsoka panel, I think he was the highlight for me because of what you're talking about. I mean that seriously, which is why I think I was a little affected even more on Sunday of just the joy was overtaking him. And even, you know, Lars comes out and, you know, is a little emotional by it too. This is a quiet performer that rarely leaves his homeland to go work and go to LA to do this. And that just makes me think of the Star Wars fandom and for all the negative stuff that's always out there and always will be out there. This is what we do. This is what we do. We celebrate and we open our arms and you're all welcome. Come to the table. And you just felt that. And then you slide into the trailer and I had no idea what to expect from his character. Right. And no idea.
People thought he was going to be Thrawn and then he's this whole other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hadn't been following a lot of those out. He might be this, he might be that, he might be an officer. He might be this, you know, villain or not. I don't remember if I knew that. But just the image with the orangey, as we now know, the orangey lightsabers, the costume and all that kind of stuff and the name Baylan Skoll. I mean, I was it was blown away by that, too. And that may help make the trailer for me. His presence immediately brought some depth to what was always already going to be something I was excited for. But I was it was the thing, Joseph, like, whoa, we got it. This is not what I was expecting. And this just makes it more epic.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too, and I think a really big part of it of, like, yeah, he could have been another, like, whenever it is an accomplished actor cast and we don't know what, we're all like, I don't know, Imperial officer, maybe?
Yeah.
anybody with gravitas, like, I don't know, maybe Imperial. Yeah. But so much of the Ahsoka hype and excitement is understandably reconnecting with characters, seeing them in live action the first time, Hera, Sabine, Ahsoka herself, who is going to play Thrawn, that Ray Stevenson's presence had this extra injection of energy of like, we're so excited to see what we know. And then who the hell is Baylan? What is that about? This great new energy.
I really agree with that. Yeah. You're right. It was say someone else walked in here. Who's that? Yeah. So not much more to say. It's sad. It's tragic. Like I said, the cause of death isn't known. And a lot more information has yet to come out. And at this point, though, that doesn't matter. It's all about the loss of this human being. We were all set to love and will love more and help keep the legacy going. So that's our look at Ray Stevenson. Any final thoughts there, Joseph, before we move on?
I think final thought for me is just like, yes, the most important thing about this is the loss of a human life. And I wanted to process it in honest terms for me as a Star Wars fan. And then I have a relationship with different actors because of that perspective. But I really want to underline, yes, that is by far the most important thing, is that a life was lost.
Indeed, and we'll have a chance to continue to celebrate as the series comes our way. All right, transitioning to business news as we discuss this. I thought about, I don't know, I'll tell you what, I thought about not including this, but it just was, I'll also while on vacation, I occasionally pick up the phone and was like, oh, this is happening. But the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel is set to close. Disney announced last week that the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel will have its final flight in September and will be shut down after only 18 months. This comes as part of the sweeping cost-cutting measures still ongoing at Disney. And of course, that's affecting jobs, and this will affect jobs as well. With the WGA strike still going, maybe SAG DGA strikes to come. Who knows? There's a lot of business talk going around, and Disney's always going to be at the center of it there. But this was also the loss of a Star Wars thing and something that not everyone got to experience. Yes, the price to attend was a little high, which probably contributed to this maybe not working out as much as people designed here and planned. But we ourselves never got to stay in the Halcyon, as it's called, of course, in canon. But thoughts, Joseph, on this being shut down and the business of it all?
In the I'm glad you included it because I have a lot of thoughts.
There you go.
And they're complicated. I think the place that I want to start is, I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but I have a friend who works on the ship as a cast member. Mm-hmm. And then I have other people who are friends to acquaintances, spectrum, who are involved, who have been involved in developing it, casting it, keeping it running. Mm-hmm. So I want to own that I have a personal take and a personal perspective. But even in the press release that Disney put out, they made it clear of this has been a tremendous artistic and experience success. It is one of, if not the highest rated, one of the highest rated visitors are happy, thrilled with the experience. Mm-hmm. My friend over the months has, without giving any spoilers or saying anything that she's not supposed to, has described interactions with families, with children, with people who are well aware we are spending a bonkers amount of money for a once in a lifetime experience, and you gave that to us truly, deeply empowering, impactful. I know that the actual experience delivered the kind of things that you and I talk about on Force Center, and that we hear about from listeners of those times where Star Wars touches your life and makes a difference. So I start from there of there's the business side of it and there's the expense side of it, and that all can be discussed, should be discussed, should be analyzed. But I wanted to start from this point of respect that whether or not it was a good business decision by Disney, the company asked humans, artists, creative people to design a theme entertainment experience that went to a level that has never been accomplished by Disney before. And the creatives and the humans involved knocked it out of the park and made something amazing. And I want to respect that. And there are opinions and I think legitimate discussion about how expensive should things be, how accessible should they be, what is a good business decision. I think those are all valid and important conversations. But then also, this has always been the target of snark and anger. Not, could some of those assets that they developed be put in Galaxy's Edge so they're more accessible? Should they have found a way to lower the cost? Not legitimate to me conversations, but just snark. I think there are a lot of things that have made Galactic Star Cruiser a snark target.
Yes.
It's the sequel era. And, you know, as always we say, totally fine if you don't like the sequel era. But there are people who are actively hateful about disliking it. Because the captain character on the ship is a woman. There's ridiculous Kathleen Kennedy connections, ridiculous talking points about Kathleen Kennedy needing to have a self-insert character. And, you know, just ridiculous stuff. I think also because it's family friendly, sometimes there are those fans who only like the dark, brutal side of Star Wars. If it's not a Sith Lord, it's kiddie stuff. And there's so much about Galactic Star Cruiser that is family friendly. It is about progress. It is about empowering people and telling an empowering story from everything I can gather. So I think it's got a lot of targets on its back. So I just want to be careful when discussing what I think are good things to discuss about it from a business perspective, that I'm not giving cover for people who are just snarkily attacking it and having snide comments about who could have seen this coming, about time, or haha, it failed. Like, there's so much of that snark attitude that I just want to make sure that I'm not a part of that.
Yeah, which is dominates so much of our world beyond Star Wars, and I agree with you. And these stories get boiled down into little jokes, little headlines. And so much was work. So much work was put into this. And one of the things for me is I didn't pay attention much to the hotel in the sense of, would I ever get there? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We loved some of the tie-in stuff. The Princess and the Scoundrel book, which was a tie-in to this, ended up being one of our favorites. But in reading more of the story, I was, in a way, shocked. But shocked because of exactly what you're talking about, Joseph, is this didn't get discussed. That it was the returns on it, the surveys, the people who actually experienced it was like, this was a win. And I think history has it will erase that, right? And will erase the memories that were created. And I totally agree with you. I mean, there was a reason I wasn't planning on going there. I that's a lot of allowance money and all those kind of things. But even to hear some of the creatives talking about it, this could be one of those things where, whatever they were trying to attempt with this hotel, this might have been this one walks or the other one's runs type of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to be looked at, celebrated, picked apart, dissected, studied, put back together. Sure. Yeah, I agree with it. It's a weird time for the business of it all. We know there's a lot going on, like we said. But I enjoy you bringing in the human touch. It's the same. And the reasons why. And the reasons why that we face a lot of that. Even when you go out of that Star Wars bubble and people just have a long list of things they're ready to use against Star Wars. So I think that all factors in. And again, factors into the fact of like, yeah, it was like, oh, this is shut down. That makes sense because that's all I knew about it. Cause that's all that's out there. Not this real stuff. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I think getting into some of the, actual discussion of price and accessibility and where else could the effort in the technology go. I do think it was bonkers expensive. It was very, very difficult to get to. It wasn't something like, I'll stretch your budget a little bit and every family can go. I think that's happening to the theme parks in general. But I think with this one, with Galactic Star Cruiser, the other thing that I disagree with that it was a cash grab or a gouge. It's really high end, but it's the cast, the new tech they designed to help tell this story, the specialized food and lodging. It was a really expensive vacation. A person on Facebook made what was to me a good analogy about a way to look at it is this was a top tier mega event. So if going to Galaxy's Edge is like going to a very expensive football game, still like inaccessible to lots of people, but a regular season, but popular football game, very expensive. Galactic Star Cruiser was like going to the Super Bowl. Like it was like, and maybe it should have been marketed that way of, this is a mega event. This price is going to keep people out. But I mean, that to me is the big challenge, honestly, with lots of Star Wars stuff. We've talked about it. We experienced it with Celebration. Celebration itself has this warm, loving vibe of everyone's welcome if you can afford it, which most people can't. Many people can't. Celebration is hard to get to. Regular old Galaxy's Edge on either coast is extremely hard to get to. And that's always going to have a tension with it's Star Wars. Star Wars is for everyone. It's welcoming to everyone. And maybe Galactic Star Cruiser was just it could not possibly be available to everyone. And there's that tension of how do you, for other products, experiences, if you're a James Bond fan, they can be like, come sleep in a gold hotel for James Bond night. And it is $1 million. Too bad. That's the aesthetic of James Bond. It's a harder sell when it is Star Wars. And that tension is really palpable here.
Yeah, I think I've well said runs all through it and runs through all the discussions around it. You know, who knows what the future holds? And like I said, they rebrand this, find a way to move it out there. And like I said, I still believe you'll look back and say, hey, a lot of things came from this. And that's just, you know, from outsider's perspective, not an Imagineer myself here, of course. So there we go, folks. There we go. The Halcyon is going, I think, September 28th, the last ride. I think it's mostly booked up till then. But hey, if you've experienced something on there and had some fun memories made, let us know. We'd love to share those and keep those memories and those joys alive.
Yeah, absolutely. One other quick part of the conversation. I don't know where this comes from, and I wasn't able to source it this morning. But there is discussion that part of the experience of Galactic Star Cruiser, the sort of the larger lounge with singing in that, was maybe supposed to be a part of Galaxy's Edge. In it, if that's true, I do support that. I think Galaxy's Edge could use a more open. I love Oga's Cantina, but it's hard to get into. And having a larger, more accessible space would be great. In my final thought on this is, I hope that Disney and Lucasfilm continue to work on ways to make things tiered, to make them sort of accessible at home. I mean, like. You can never replace being there. You can't replace being in the celebration room when Daisy Ridley is announced. But making it a little bit more available on the internet would be great. And I think however they can do that for Galaxy's Edge, for Celebration, for things like Galactic Star Cruiser, to try to make as many people feel a part of it as possible is, I think, where the focus should be.
Yeah, especially on the Celebration side. And as we head to Tokyo, talking about hard to get to, that's for some, for others.
Yeah,
it's right there. And I've even seen the Australian fans excited that that's a lot quicker flight for them to get. you have to plant your flag somewhere and say, hey, this is where it is, or this is what the event is, this is what the cost is. Totally get that. But especially on the Celebration side, with the live stream side, letting people experience it all around the world is important as well.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. More news on the way. But before we do, we got a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you, yes, you should try out on us. What do we have today, sir?
I switched it up, Ken. I'm recommending The Princess and the Scoundrel by Beth Revis. It also got snarked on because a part of it does happen on the Galactic Star Cruiser. If I didn't know that part of the novel was intended to raise awareness, I would have no idea. It is to me pretty damn seamless. And this book is just plain one of my favorite Star Wars books ever. So I highly recommend checking this one out.
Check it out. I second all that. I enjoyed my experience reading that fun book. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. On the other side, more news here on ForceCenter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Force Center, taking a look at some Star Wars news around the galaxy. And, well, here's one question. Can one sentence be a news story? Well, yes, before we've learned that. But, yes, if it's Natalie Portman saying she's up for returning as Padme. This is what happened when Natalie Portman appeared on GQ's Actually Me video series. Natalie Portman answered some Star Wars questions that she found online. I watched the whole segment. It was fascinating to watch her going around the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, finding things said about her. That's dangerous. I want to know what was on the cutting room floor, but she did it because Natalie Portman was brave. And she revealed some fun things. She took one of Anakin's braids from Attack of the Clones, but then lost it, which I feel bad. You know, sometimes when you lose items you collect, it sucks. But then she came across the question of whether she would return to the role of Padme. And she said, "I have no information about that. No one's ever asked me to return, but I'd be open to it." And that's it. That's it. That's the story, Joseph. That's all she said. But let's have some fun thinking about this. Just to hear her say that, that's been a journey, I think, even to that moment. So how could this happen? What do you think about this? And what would we like to see in terms of Padme returning and maybe even what way? What do you got?
Yeah. Yeah. I did watch the whole thing as well. It's only like 8 minutes and 30 seconds or something. And I joke about calling Natalie Portman Padme in other roles, but I think she is a phenomenal actor and a fascinating person. And it is really great to hear answers about her entire career that puts all of this in context as she's looking back on MCU stuff, on Black Swan, on all sorts of things, puts this in context of like, yes, this is one of the many things I've done, including the rap where I make a joke about the prequels in a good way on her famous Saturday Night Live bit, talks about all that. So, yes, I would love to see Padme back, and I would love to see Natalie Portman back is Padme. Huge thousand times yes. Yeah. I thought that there was a slim possibility of a flashback in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. That would have been great from my perspective. But I think in future storytelling that we're looking at where this could maybe actually happen, there's still the not confirmed reports that Hayden Christensen is in Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. I think I have always been assuming as a Force spirit Anakin communing with Ahsoka, but that and flashbacks like Obi-Wan Kenobi is possible. I would love for Ahsoka to reflect on her relationship with Padme because that was formative and important. And I love how much Filoni centered that in the Tales of the Jedi by having Ahsoka take great personal risk to attend Padme's funeral because she was a friend and a mentor too, not just Anakin. So I would love to see a Padme flashback in this series of Ahsoka. You know, I already shot. So if so, great acting, Natalie Portman. I'm saying no one's ever asked her to return. But if future Ahsoka storytelling certainly seems likely, possible second season, possibly involved in the Filoni film, New Republic film. So I would love any flashback related to Ahsoka. Seems like a good place.
Yeah, a flashback, and you know, with all the technology out there, you know, DAG and all those kind of things, we're about to see more of it, and perhaps in a way we've never seen it in Dial of Destiny. We got to experience it in the Kenobi series. That could be the way. You could also find another way to do it. I just it was, you know, there's been other times I've heard her talk about it, and yes, you mentioned the SNL rap with the Lonely Island Boys up there at SNL. But there, you know, there was one, I didn't have time to look it up. There was one interview a few years ago of her talking kind of about the Padme legacy. You know, it's important to me as a Star Wars fan. I don't need every Star Wars actor to hang around and show up at all the conventions and take, you know, that kind of long-term ownership on it. I don't need that, but it definitely helps because of all the things we were talking about earlier, the big Star Wars family and that vibe. And you haven't seen her around as much. I had heard rumors. This is total rumor, folks, that there was a thought of trying to get her to Orlando in 2017, but I think she was pregnant at the time and couldn't travel. There was that kind of stuff out there. But just to hear her be like, yeah, no, I'd be open to it. That's great. That's great. That's a wonderful starting point for me, this wonderful character. And I'm with you. I thought Kenobi could have been a spot. Ahsoka could be a spot. I'm not expecting her to be in that unless, like you said, she's pulling a fast one on us. Which is, you know, always possible. Ask Lars Mikkelsen. But there's something about the character. I want to hear that name again. I'm fine that it wasn't said in Kenobi. I think they did a good job with it. But same with like Duchess Satine, right? Sometimes even in Mando season 3, it was like, say the name. Yeah. And I think I need to hear the name Padme at some point. The Ahsoka series could be a place to do it. And that could maybe lead to exploring ways to bring Natalie Portman back for one final go around with Padme.
I really agree with you. I think I can't remember when or what I've heard Natalie Portman say about Padme, but I would imagine maybe she's talked about this, but I would imagine that she's had a similar experience to Ewan McGregor of being aware that, that, you know, the older people were vocal and often cruel about their dislike of the prequels, while the generation that it was really speaking to them didn't have their voice yet. And now they go around and they see how much Padme means to people. And I'm sure she gets that all the time, which I would imagine is a positive thing. The exact same way Ewan McGregor has described, like, this is really great to finally get the love and know that it's there. And with Padme, I think in some ways it's different because Padme is, it's not different. It's important that women are role models, and Padme is a role model, a great role model for everyone. My love of the prequels increased when I looked at it through the filter of Padme and listened to everything that Padme said and realized how much Padme is the one that everyone should listen to avoid the tragedy. And she's a role model for me, which is part of the reason I love the character. I so agree with you also. I want to see Natalie Portman back in the role, but we've now had a couple opportunities where it makes sense somewhere. I understand that sometimes you got to cut things. Sometimes there isn't room, but Rise of Skywalker did, to me, a great job of celebrating the saga, and Padme felt left out of that. Just a name drop. I didn't need a flashback or anything, but just a name drop somewhere. Kenobi feels like she isn't named by name, but she's, you know, celebrated and eulogized by Obi-Wan. But I would still take I want to hear the P word. I want to hear Padme.
And it's almost in a weird way, like this is now, you know, total just going in the wilds of discussion here, where it's like, I got to wonder why, you know, why the character has, by now, I think we all realize the character has this wonderful legacy, as she should. And those books came out, the E.K. Johnston books. So we know there's more stories to have and more things to learn from this character. You got to see her speak one time at an event, and you had said a comment on Force Center of like, it's just, she is Padme, right? And kind of always was. There's some great behind the scenes Revenge of the Sith stuff, or maybe even now, probably earlier, probably Attack of the Clone stuff, I think, with Padme or with Natalie Portman. There, I did it. Natalie Portman talking about Padme. And even then, she had a handle on the character. And I think she was very much that character in terms of her investment in the world at large. So, to find the right way and just to say it and to address it. I felt a lot. Yeah, the Rise of Skywalker one was a swing and a miss for me too. It's the Skywalker saga. Shmi and Padme, I have a little bit to do with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't like those opportunities, being missed. I don't want them to continue to be missed.
Yeah, no, I really agree with that. And I agree. I think that she is well cast because she, as a human, shares some of the traits mm-hmm. of Padme. Mm-hmm. I think one of them is just clearly just razor sharp intelligence, the ability to clearly communicate her thoughts and an actual passion for issues and a desire to advocate for what she believes is right on large fundamental levels. There's that I can't remember which award show it is where I think it's Ron Howard she's presenting with, and she just has the now the all male nominees, and yep. just like that's a Padme move. I'm not going to let this thing that isn't right go unspoken. I saw her at the Women's March in Los Angeles right after the 2016 election. Very pregnant, giving a very empowered speech. It was moving and powerful and hard to not feel the connections to the character. And my mantra for this episode, I know Padme's fictional. Don't worry about me. but there are those characters who are inspiring in fiction. And then it is wonderful when the human shares some of those vital traits. I think one of the strongest and most powerful things about Luke Skywalker is he grows from farm boy to confident Jedi master to middle-aged man who needs to deal with heartbreak. Through all of it, there's just this warm glow of kindness. And I think that's Mark Hamill. In reality, so just another example, I think, of when a character can be valued as a character, but you can also see those traits in the person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all part of that Star Wars magic to me as well, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's Padme in animation. I think with Tales of the Jedi, there's a chance to do that, but that might most likely be Cat Tabor returning the role. But I'd love to see. I'd love to see this happen. And you know what? Sometimes this can be the start of it, right? I know, there's hashtag Meg Solo 2. There's, I think, Rosario getting to Ahsoka had a lot to do with the internet. So, hey, this is it. If there's give us more Padme stories, if that's a movement that needs to begin now, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Two other thoughts of her return. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're done with Luke Skywalker storytelling, whether they continue with the technology they've been using or they do. If they actually cast an actor, we've had questions and speculations about will Luke be in this New Republic film that Filoni's doing, all that. Regardless, I don't think we're done with Luke's storytelling. I think it would be phenomenal to have Luke meditate and try to see visions of his mother, like Leia seemed to naturally do. This has been sort of the new canon idea of when Leia says she only remembers Flash's images. It'd be amazing for Luke. No, I don't mean like reach out and Padme's a force spirit, but
right.
Luke meditate and see, like Yoda says, through the force, you'll see the future, the past, old friends long gone. To see a flash of his mother, that would be really, really powerful to just directly connect Luke to Padme.
Yeah. That'd be great. Oh, that'd be a great way to do it.
Final thing I've seen some people talking about. Could she play Sabe? And I'm not caught up on the Vader comics, so I don't know where Sabe's story is at currently in the comics. But I'd prefer Padme, but hey,
I'd take Sabi.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, assuming Keira Knightley says, I was in Star Wars and doesn't want to come back. Maybe she will. Maybe both of them. Yeah, no, there's ways to do it. But it all begins with someone like her going, yeah, sure. No one's ever asked me, but I'd dance at the party.
Yep.
So there you go. That is our look at Star Wars news. A lot there. I hope you all enjoyed our look. Let us know what you think by reaching out on Twitter. We're at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. Just search, you'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Follow me at CatNapSock or go to my website, catnapsock.com, for more. Joseph, where can they find you? And if they're still looking to support the Kickstarter as those stretch goals hit, where can they go?
Yeah, you can find me on the social media. My handle is at Joseph Scrimshaw on all the social media I'm on: Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, all those places. And yes, thank you to the Force Center fans who have supported the Nightmare Adorable. I feel incredibly grateful of how supportive everyone is of Force Center, of the Patreon, of YouTube, of just listening and sharing. And I really appreciate the stretching to support us doing things outside of Force Center when they are things that you're into. I'm very excited about this short film. I'm very excited for Ken to play a role. We've worked together lots of ways, but getting to direct Ken in some scenes and rewrite lines because I go, you know, this would be really funny. I know Ken will make this line work, so I'm going to change that. That's such a fun part of the process for me. Like Ken said, we're very lucky to be fully funded, but we have some extremely important stretch goals. The one that we're working on right now is if we get to a stretch goal, I can actually buy the camera rather than rent it, which will help me learn even more about filmmaking and make more films in the future. So if you're at all interested in that, you can just go to Kickstarter.com and search for Joseph Scrimshaw, and the film The Nightmare Adorable will pop right up.
There you go, my friends. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to taking direction and having fun. So there you go, my friends. That is it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.